Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello and welcome to this week's Must Hear Music podcast. We've got a special episode today. Well, first off, I'm joined by Chris Payne.
Hey, I'm the not. Well, we'll get to it.
Yeah, and then Jason Lipschutz, and
what's
it
up,
is
man?
Jason's birthday today.
Yeah.
So by the time you're listening to this,
it's not his birthday.
But it's his birthday while we're doing this. And to that end, we've got one last little treat.
Wow.
We've got some
Twix ice cream bars.
Wow, now I'm going to be chewing all throughout this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Chewing or covered in melting chocolate. Oh, I'm fine with that.
All right. Wow, for those listening, this is a total shock.
And
napkins.
Not staged. Jason had no idea.
I had no idea.
He was about to get
what
an
a
ice
nice
cream
surprise.
Twix.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, of course.
Do you think if you leave it out, it just becomes a regular Twix?
That's definitely what happens.
Anyway.
All right. Anyways, though, happy birthday to Jason, and
Thanks, guys.
We'll find out about the magical Twix transformation as this podcast progresses, but for now, let's talk about another little bit of magic, which is a band called One Direction.
Yeah.
Using the term band pretty loosely.
I turned 28, and I'm still talking about boy bands.
And he's,
forever.
Yeah, if you think he's growing up, don't worry.
What if, like, in 2 years, 2 years from today, when I turn 30, I'll just be like, you know what? That Neil Young. Yeah.
Hey, I love Neil Young.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, no, you'll turn 30, and you'll just only listen to jazz.
What if I'm, like, the Benjamin Button of music, and I get like more juvenile, like I'm just like, hey guys, let's talk about like Kids Bop. Like,
that's nothing
Kids
but Vine.
You heard this new Wiggles track?
Yeah. Let's talk about Jack and Jack. I guess in 2 years that'll be like they'll be too old still. So
that's true.
Anyway, One Direction put out a new single. It's called Drag Me Down. Now I want to start with you, Joe, because this song came out Friday, and you were not feeling it.
I was not feeling it.
Did it drag you down?
It did drag me down.
It dragged you down? That's crazy.
And yeah, so it came out Friday. I listened to it. I was told, like, I was on Spotify in the morning just be like, hey, let's listen to something because I'm bored. And new One Direction song, sort of exciting. And then I listen to it and I hear basically to me what sounds like Maroon 5. But
I was gonna say
not
it's,
a good Maroon
it sounds
5
like
song.
Maroon 5.
Like there's a little bit of white boy reggae. And yeah. I was like, this is terrible. And then I gave it a weekend. I listened to it again on Monday, and I still don't like it. So there's absolutely no transformation. I'm not digging it. And I feel like I've said this to you before, but yeah. I feel like what's the point of having a boy band if instead of like fun, frothy pop, like they're just doing adult contemporary stuff that we're already getting from like One Republic, Maroon 5,
whoever else.
The Scripts.
Lifehouse, maybe.
Oh, yeah, big time.
The Fray.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We can go all day with these bands. But actually, I agree. I was just listening to it today, and I swear, Adam Levine popped into my mind. But there usually is like one song on every Maroon 5 album, even now, that I like a lot. And I like this song. I think it's the lead single from a new album, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely like it more than Steal My Girl, which I thought was a pretty vanilla lead single. This song I think is neat because it kind of has a bass drop element in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's like a rock bass drop.
Yeah.
And with their progression of wanting to be more like serious and like play guitars, I think it's kind of like a fun way of adapting that without getting too just like serious rock, which I don't think would work that well for them.
Yeah, it's funny because I always like, not always, because I don't get to hear the radio that much living in New York, but we were driving around this past weekend, and on Friday when the song came out, all of the like the Z100s and stuff were like playing it every hour, so you just heard Drag Me Down a ton. And by like the third time, I was like really, I liked the song when it came out, but now I'm like, I'm really in on Drag Me Down.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm like really in on this song. I think that, I think my favorite thing about it is that, first of all, it's super catchy. It's just an incredibly catchy song. It just gets stuck in my head like for hours and hours and hours. My favorite thing about it though is that like I always enjoy when like boy bands or girl groups have a song where they're not necessarily singing from one perspective, where it's just like
a posse one, cut.
Exactly. Yeah. It kind of is a posse awesome. Cut. And it's like, it's not from one perspective of like just different voices narrating one vision. It's like they're all kind of, all four members of One Direction have their own spot in this song. Mm-hmm. And they all kind of like, yeah, like they kind of come to like the front of the posse, and they're like, "Fight in and have you," like, and then they drop back and they let somebody else shine, mm-hmm. and then they all come together for the chorus. I like it. It's just like, it's a very well constructed song, and it's not like their best single, but it's just solid. Like I don't know. I hear the Maroon 5, I hear like the Police and all that stuff, and I just think that it does riff on them, but I think it's a good riff. So, no, I like it.
Yeah, I heard a lot of dad rock influence. Definitely especially a lot on of dad Lewis, rock. Especially on Lewis's part.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think.
He's like, mates, we got to tone down the music. I got a little baby on the way. Oh, sorry, that British accent was
really
terrible.
Good.
Oh.
That was really, no,
thanks.
It was great.
Thanks for saying it was
great.
Good.
I have nothing to follow that. Nothing at all.
I do have a question. So, Chris, you mentioned the bass drop in this, which is like a rock bass drop. Mm-hmm. This just occurred to me like a half hour ago because it was in my head despite not liking it. Does the bass drop in this, when they say nothing can drag me down and then it goes down, does that remind you at all of I Knew You Were Trouble, the Taylor Swift song, when she goes
lying
in
the
cold, hard ground? Maybe I'm just stretching a little bit, you know, because of the 1D Taylor connection, but I feel like there's some similarity.
I think a little bit.
Wait, a little I'm stretching or a little I'm totally right?
No, I think you're a little bit right.
Perfect. I will take a little bit right.
No, but I'm like relieved to hear that One Direction is back and doing okay, and Drag Me Down is not like a complete disaster. It's far from a complete disaster. Like, imagine how much of a bummer it would have been. And I know, Joe, you don't like the song, but imagine how much of a bummer it would have been if they just put out like something really terrible. I don't even think.
Yeah,
think
it's hard
terrible.
To imagine. No, I guess I don't think it's terrible. I just think it's boring. Is what the problem is for me. But you're right. I don't think it's awful. Like if I heard it on the radio, I wouldn't be upset.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't smash the radio.
Wow.
I might turn the channel. But, yeah, and you're going to see 1D tonight, so they're probably going to...
Tomorrow night.
Wait, I thought...
Wednesday night, they're playing.
And when does the podcast run?
I guess people would have already heard
this.
We're getting a little
mixed up in our time.
Yeah. People would have already heard this. I by the time you hear my voice, I will have already experienced...
This is true.
One Direction.
Yeah. So I guess there's no point in really teasing that concert.
No.
Anyways, though. All right. Well, let's listen to it. One Direction, Drag Me Down. I'm mad with your love. Nobody can drag me. All my life, you stood by me when no one else was ever behind me. All these lies, they can't blind me. With your love, nobody can drag me down. All right, that was the new 1D. Next, we're going to move to one of my picks. This is Danny Brown and Clams Casino. The song is Worth It. And so, yeah, this is a kind of unexpected Danny Brown cover of a Fifth Harmony song.
You're done, I'm worth
no one was, but it's almost an unrecognizable cover. No, I'm kidding. This song has nothing to do with Fifth Harmony. Worth it?
Not yet.
I wish it did. Mash-up. If Danny Brown did a remix. Oh my god, or a mashup. Ugh,
that'd be awesome.
That would be so good. Anyways, though, but this song is on its own very, very incredible. It's the new Danny Brown song. It's from an Adult Swim singles compilation.
Very on brand.
Yeah, it's Danny Brown and Adult Swim together.
And I like both of them. I'm just kidding, but it's on brand, which is good.
It makes sense, yeah. So Danny's last album was Old, which I guess was 2013. You know, it was just like, I thought, one of the best albums of that year. We've had tracks from him since then, but no real indication that there's a full-length album coming up. This is similarly no indication. This is just from an Adult Swim compilation. Yeah. But it is just a great song. Like, it's Clams Casino is a great producer who's worked with a bunch of different people, from Mac Miller to A$AP Rocky to Lil B. And this is really like Clams Casino, who is a great producer in his own right, meeting Danny Brown like on his terms in the kind of like field of weirdness and like strange sounds. And lyrically, it's also very interesting, too, because you have this song where he's rapping basically about, like, you know, fame, success. Like, is it worth it? You get these fast cars, new ice, new girls every night. I think for a lot of people, the answer, like, you hear that and you're like, yeah, great. I want all of those things.
It's worth
Please,
it. Trust
definitely
me.
Worth
every time
it.
I am worth
yeah, well,
it.
Let's ask Chris. Is it worth it?
Yes.
The fame. Okay.
Of course. Every bit of it.
I mean, the interesting He's thing right. is that Danny Brown doesn't he doesn't answer the question, and he doesn't like negate it, but the music is almost the response to it. Like, the music has this kind of like empty, sinister sound to it, and so it's almost like the music is the answer to the question that kind of like casts doubt on the whole fame thing. There's even a part where the music cuts off the question, and there's a kind of like brittle drum rhythm that reminiscent of like early Wu-Tang solo projects, and it sounds contemporary. Good song. What did you guys think of it?
Yeah, I love the vibe of it, where it's just the feeling of like, yo, give me any beat, I'll rap over it. Like, even if it doesn't even really sound that much like a beat where you can tell where the rapping would go. Yeah, totally down with the song. And also, because I know Danny, I mean, the whole like dark side of fame, I think, was and that life, I think, was a theme on the Old album that you were talking about, Joe. And also, I think he went through like getting over some kind of addictions in recent years. Maybe it was with codeine, or I'm not sure, but he's been through some stuff. And I also I really enjoy music, or any kind of art really, that deals with drugs but isn't like pro-drug or anti-drug, that's just like real in the middle and is just like honest with it. I think it's very good in accomplishing that.
Yeah, I totally agree. And yeah, he definitely sounded like that on Old, in the sense that it wasn't about like typical hip-hop tropes where it's just about like, this is what I have to deal with being on the road and being on, you know, in the studio all the time and trying to make a name for myself. And C-Pain mentioned the beat, which is, it reminded me of Dope Fiend Rental featuring Schoolboy Q on Old, which is a beat that just doesn't sound like it deserves to be rapped over. Not deserves, but like, it doesn't sound like rap at all. Like, it's almost like a video game. And what he does, like, kind of force, like, beating these beats down and like forcing his will over them is just so impressive to me. I can't wait for more Danny Brown music. Like,
I know
this is like a one-off, but I want him to come back with the follow-up to Old. I don't know if that's soon around the corner.
I have no
but
idea. But yeah, that would be great if we could get it this year.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, it's got to be next year at the latest.
I hope so.
I would think.
That'd be cool.
I mean, he's on that tour with A$AP Rocky and Tyler and Vince Staples, and they all have albums out this year so far, so
yeah,
maybe that's a sign that he is putting out something soon.
Yeah, well,
fingers crossed.
Yeah, oh, and all of those guys, yeah, that's a good point, because yeah, Vince Staples, Clams Casino, worked with Vince Staples on his album too, so maybe that's how he got linked up with Danny. Instantly, I don't think I've ever had Clams Casino. That's like the clams where they put like bacon on it or something.
I don't
something?
Know, man. I'm not a seafood guy at all.
No. I like seafood, but like
I like a fish, but I'm not into shellfish, so I don't know.
Oh wow, we've You're got a alone strong anti-shellfish yeah. contingent on this podcast. Well, anyways, so yeah, let's listen to it. It's Danny Brown and Clams Casino. The song is called "Worth It." Gimmick might get your recognition. You'll never be competition. Wait, that I mentioned. Gimmick might get your recognition, but you'll never be competition. For real. Is it really worth it? For fast cars and ice? Do you wanna live that life? Is it really worth it? New girls every night? Do you wanna live that life? All right, that was Worth It.
Give it to me, I'm worth it.
From Danny Brown and Clams Casino. Thanks, Jason.
Featuring Fifth Harmony.
Featuring 5H. harmonizers are going wild over this. They can't get enough Danny Brown. No, anyways. So let's move on to Chris Pick. Got FKA Twigs, new song, Figure 8. And this is the second new FKA song we've gotten this year. The last one was in March. And... I'll toss it to you, Chris.
Which one was the one from March?
Glass and Patron.
Patron.
Huh. Patron.
Patron.
The patron saint yeah. of Glass.
patron saint of the club.
Anyways.
That's what I drink in the club.
So yeah, I'm tossing you. What do you tell me about this?
Great
song.
Intro to the FK Twigs track.
Yeah, this is a really.
I like it for really all the same reasons that I liked LP1 and her two EPs before that. I was listening to the premiere of it she did with Zane Lowe, and she did like a little mini interview with him where she was saying that the title Figure 8 references a dancing technique of hers where it references the figure 8 shape and how it's completely continuous and doesn't end anywhere. It's like that squiggle that keeps going. And when she's going through her different moves, there's no breaks. They just all seamlessly transition into each other. So she's about the figure eight. And yeah, I've just from the get-go been really interested in the role of dance in her performance, because I was actually having a talk with Madeline, one of our old podcast producers, when she was here about
R.I.P.
how...
Just kidding. She's alive. But she doesn't work here at the moment.
Yeah, we were talking about how the role of the dancing pop star is very diminished in pop music these days, like that Britney model where the dance show on stage is such a big part of it. Now, like, you have boy bands like One Direction who don't even really dance. So even though Twig's moves are completely different from that kind of stuff, it's interesting to have someone back in the game who dance is such a part of visually what they do on stage.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right, and she's just, like, an interesting performer who's bringing something that's not really being done right now. And similarly, the music is just so different from anything you're really hearing in that kind of, like, minimalist indie R&B realm. Like, the background music to this song, Figure 8, is like, not even... It's not minimal. It's just, like, a sound collage. It's, like, a bunch of different stuff kind of mashed together, which... certainly has been done before throughout history, but it's not really in vogue right now, and it's just a very kind of complicated soundscape going on in the background, and there's like a noise break. It's like it's way too far to say it's industrial, but it's definitely like a little more abrasive than what we've heard from her before, and I really like it. Like, I did definitely appreciated LP1, but I was not, it wasn't like the kind of thing that I was like, holy cats, I'm gonna listen to this over and over. Like,
you didn't
it's
say
just,
holy cats to it.
I say holy cats to most
I
albums.
Heard
I really
LP1 for the first time, and I saw so many cats that were holy in just my line of vision.
So many haloed cats.
Yeah.
No. So I was like, yeah, like, and obviously it got a crazy amount of acclaim. It just didn't like it didn't cross that line for me where I was like, I'm expecting great things from FKA Twigs. Yeah. But this really does get me excited.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you, man, where I wasn't, like, an enormous fan of LP1, but I saw her live a couple months ago at Coachella, and I'd seen her live before, and I wasn't, like, blown away, but this time she was playing some new stuff, and she really did was totally stellar, and I think that this Figure 8, along with Glass and Patron...
Yes.
mark an intriguing new direction for her. And I think that I'm much more interested to hear LP2. I assume that's what it's going to be called, right? LP2?
Whenever it comes out. LP3.
Yeah.
Just skip two. The lost one.
But yeah, I'm excited to hear more from her, and this is definitely compelling.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
All right, well, let's give a listen. It's Figure 8 from FKA Twigs. I feel the spark just ripped. There's a drift that's overflowing me. All right, that was the new FKA Twigs, Figure 8. Next up is one of my picks. Or wait, we already did one of my picks. But you know what? We're going to do another one. Wow. We're going to do Prince Stare.
Ooh.
Prince is staring at you, which is probably the most uncomfortable thing that could ever happen, to be in a room where Prince is just staring at you. But yeah, so anyways.
Kind of cool.
So Prince, you probably heard of this guy. This is another one of my... what some people call legacy musicians that I am still enamored with.
If he heard you call him a legacy musician, I bet his head would explode.
I think we don't have to worry about that because I'm not sure he knows what a podcast is.
No.
And
let's just clown
that's,
on Prince.
Yeah, let's just, well, we're from the same hometown, so at the very least, like, he can't hate me too much.
Have you,
fingers
are you
crossed.
Minnesota, or you don't care about sports? I
could care less about sports.
Are people from, like, I guess they're, like, Minnesota Vikings fans, like, where you grew up?
Yes.
A couple years ago, when they were in, like, the semifinals of the National Football League, Prince put out a Minnesota Vikings song. Do you remember this?
Purple, I remember.
Purple and Gold, I think
yeah.
it was called.
I always thought it's awesome.
It
was
so
how
bad.
Purple is Prince's color, and I don't know if that was ever planned in any way, but it's Vikings color too.
Yeah
it's a lucky coincidence cool. for us Minnesotans. Definitely something to celebrate.
And the grapes of grape salad are also purple.
Yes, the legendary.
They don't use green grapes, specifically purple grapes from Minnesota.
Yeah, you would never see a grape salad with green grapes. Okay, so Prince, anyways. So this guy, Prince, does not really like or believe in the internet. He famously, probably around the turn of the century, said the internet was a fad and it wasn't going to last. When it became fairly clear, he was insanely wrong about that. He kind of recanted, but still has had this really, like, just distrustful, suspicious relationship. Yeah, exactly. Just double down, like, nope, like, you're
still not going to happen.
But anyway, so he got on Twitter to promote his last album. He probably tweeted less than 10 things, and they were all just, like, brilliantly off and didn't quite get it. And he just has never really got... Anyway, so continuing this, he recently pulled all of his music off any streaming platform except Tidal. And he also was just, his people are crazy about ripping stuff off YouTube. Like, you can search day and night and not find a single copyrighted Prince song
yeah.
on YouTube. And he did this all, I'm just saying this as a lead in because he dropped this new song Stare on Spotify the same time he ripped all of his stuff off Spotify. So as someone who regularly returns to Prince's catalog, it was irritating to be like, oh, there's no Prince here. There's just this one new song. and also the song from Happy Feet that Prince did. Yeah. So I was kind of like going into this expecting to be angry at it. I'm not saying it.
That's so funny to think, like, you went to Spotify and looked at Princeton, and you're like, argh.
Pretty
I'm
much.
So
I was
mad.
Like, I guess I'll listen to this, but it probably sucks. No, like, Prince's last album was fine. The stuff he did before that, not always a huge
you
fan.
You really
of.
Liked his Ferguson song.
I did like
his
Ferguson.
I'm sorry, not Ferguson, Baltimore.
Yeah, his Baltimore track, yeah. I thought was good. And he's just a weird musician. Like, you, it's not. Like, he's kind of like Dylan in the sense that, like, he can be in it the game for, like, 30 years, you count him out, and then he comes back with an incredible album, and then the next one is, again, just terrible. And, like, you just can't, you never know what to expect. And I think that basically this is making me think maybe Prince has another good album in him. Like, this, I think, is a really solid, just, like, low-tension funk track that, it, you know, he, like, calls out his hit Kiss. It includes the riff from Kiss. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's not like going to set the world on fire, but it's just like a really good song. And if Prince made another album of solid funk that wasn't with an all caps title, that's one word, I think, you know, he could have a good record in him. Like, the last one I really liked was 3121, which I think is probably a decade old at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that if you just take this song for what it is, which is just sort of like tossed out and, hey, here's a easy breezy funk song, then I think that you're totally fine. I think that it's actually better than, I think it's a lot looser, I should say, than a lot of what he's put out over the past couple years. And I think that being self-referential like he is with the whole Kiss thing, I like it. Like, I like that he's having a little fun. He is putting out something that doesn't really have that much pressure around it. It's just sort of like, oh, you thought I wasn't on streaming services? Here. Hey, Spotify, what's up? Yeah. I mean, it's nothing to, like, make, like, a Songs of the Year list. Mm-hmm. But it's charming. And listen to it. I would recommend it.
And Chris. C-Pain?
Yeah, I did not like this song.
Oh, no.
I really hope Prince.
Yeah.
It's like, I like the Seinfeld theme, right? But it starts off sounding like the Seinfeld theme. Then it continues to sound like the Seinfeld theme. And that's where you lost me.
And you're like, we already got one Seinfeld theme.
Yeah, I don't need
rock
it for a whole
to.
Song with Prince singing over it.
It's no Purple and Gold. No Minnesota Vikings theme song.
Oh, poor Prince. Anyways, well,
a lot of clowning on Prince in this podcast. All in all, with love though.
Completely love and respect and admiration and hashtag Purple Pride. all right, well let's listen to it. So this is the new Prince song, which is weirdly only available on Spotify. Like, you can't even buy it. It's just on Spotify. So
it's almost like he like lost a bet. Like,
right.
All right, Prince, like,
pull everything you have off Spotify.
But except this one song. He's like, can I put it on iTunes too? No. He's like, oh, too bad I lost that bet.
Exactly. So. I think that's what happened. Hopefully we'll have the audio for that one, considering we can't buy it on iTunes. All right, let's talk about where are we going next? Well, let's do a little talk about our friend Macklemore. And our other friend, Ryan Lewis, side note, we're not friends with either of those people, but those guys dropped their first new song in some time just today. Of course, when you're hearing it, I think that'll be yesterday, but the song's called Growing Up. It is about Macklemore's daughter, who his wife gave birth to, I think, a month ago.
Two months ago,
and they got married about a week ago.
Yeah.
So a lot of big changes in the world of Mackle.
A week ago.
He's been mackling a lot more than we've had earlier this year. There was so little macking, like, in January, February of this
year.
Here's
a little, you know what? I never usually bring, like, inside scoops to the Must Hear Music podcast.
extra, read all about it.
I heard, actually, a couple months ago, and this was in the spring, that Macklemore and Ryan Lewis's next single, like the single from their next album, was actually supposed to originally come out in May, And I heard that in like March or April. And obviously that did not happen. And I wonder if it's because he had the birth of his daughter. And
that's
was like,
very
ah,
possible.
You know, like time to, you know, we can push this back a couple
he
months.
He wanted to take paternity leave.
Yeah, basically.
Which is a hot topic right now. So
is it? What?
I don't know. Basically, I mean, you hear about it online. What? You didn't really hear about
you
it
hear
online.
You hear about it online.
Like 5 years ago. I'm not making this up. It's like a thing.
I think you might be making it up. But anyway, yeah, so Macklemore and Ryan Lewis are back with their good pal, the head Cheerio himself, Ed Sheeran.
So wait, so he's head Cheerio? So he's the head of his fan team?
I would. Yeah, he must be his biggest fan.
Yeah,
come on, right? Yeah, did you know? I don't know if you guys knew that Macklemore and Ed Sheeran are like good friends.
I had no idea.
No, because I was at iHeartRadio Festival last year and Ed Sheeran played and he started playing Same Love, the chorus of Same Love. Macklemore pops out on stage.
What?
I know.
Too much.
But they're pals, they're buds, and here is Ed Sheeran basically playing the Mary Lambert role on this song, which sounds a lot like Same Love. And as a song that is basically just like, I think this is actually kind of a good move for Macklemore because I assume that a new actual single is going to be out in the relatively near future. And I say that because it was supposed to be out a couple months ago. And I know they've been working a lot of stuff together. But anyway, I think that it's a good move for him to kind of sneak back in and be like, hey, don't worry. Like, this is not like my big comeback. Mm-hmm. Just like a nice song I wrote for my daughter. And hey, look at that. Ed Sheeran's on it. And I'll be coming back with more stuff soon, but kind of going to tiptoe back onto the pop scene. And I think that alleviates a little bit of pressure from what he's doing. And because, like, people, you know, people are going to pay attention to Macklemore and Ryan Lewis's next single. And, like, I think that this is, you know, it's the song's not for me, but it's like I think it was a good.
It's for his daughter.
Yeah,
first of all, it's definitely not for you, true. Jason. Mm. Just in case you weren't sure.
Growing up,
those Lynch observations that come to this podcast for
Jason's song. No, I think this is kind of a good way to at least sneak back in onto the scene.
Yeah, because he got so much negative press, well, not so much press, but, like, critic stuff. Like, so much negative with, like, the Kendrick Lamar response at the Grammys and, like,
yeah,
this and that. So I think it was smart on their part to come back with an extremely inoffensive song that's, like, impossible to hate on.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's, like, it doesn't really interest me much.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, like, fluffy and, but, you know.
Yeah. I feel like, what I will say is I feel like, you know, Ed Sheeran's a big name. I feel like, and maybe they will have made another song together, but I feel like if you're going to make a song with Ed Sheeran, like, save it for something, like, really, like, cool. And, like, obviously this is an important song to Macklemore, but, like, as a listener, I would kind of want something more dynamic for them to actually.
Something with, like, chart potential. Which
not even chart potential, but, like, something, like, yeah, like more dynamic, like I said, like something more musically interesting because there's not that much musicality to this. This is a very stripped down song and kind of just Macklemore talking to his daughter.
Yeah, very much like Jay-Z's Glory.
Well, it's actually a lot like
not as good.
Well, yeah, it's a lot like Only One. That's the one I thought of.
Also
like,
not as good as that.
Yeah, yeah, but it's like that's kind of how Kanye, that was like dropped at midnight on New Year's.
Right.
It was kind of how Kanye quietly came back onto the scene.
And that's similar too, because also that was with McCartney, but was like barely using
exactly
this, like probably the biggest living rock legend.
Wow, Prince. Poor Prince is taking a beat. No,
wait,
I'm just
McCartney
kidding.
Paul McCartney was a Beatle. I mean,
yeah, that's true. I'm just kidding.
But I mean, I'm kidding because Ed Sheeran is obviously the biggest rock legend right now.
Of course.
And a tiny guitar.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with what you guys said. I think the song is fine. I think it's a really smart move, kind of given, like, he just got, like, it's so weird because Macklemore went from being someone who had been, like, had actually been grinding on the scene for a while, and, like, people who knew hip-hop, like, knew about him and were like, oh, yeah, he's a nice guy, like, he's good, and then he got, like, so big that the backlash was just immense, and it was like, why are we giving this guy a Grammy Why does he
wait
have
a minute?
Two number one hits. And so to kind of come back, this is a nice way, like you said, of tiptoeing back in, and where it's just being like, hey, I'm back. Also, I have a daughter. Like, so you can't hate the song because it's about her. And
I wonder how we're gonna look back on like the 2 year like 1-2 punch of Grammy Best New Artists of Fun and Macklemore and Ryan Lewis.
Jason, you've compared Macklemore and Ryan Lewis to LMFAO before in the sense that you think they're a flash in the pan, but I disagreed with you then, and I still disagree.
I think
Macklemore is big and he's got fans.
I think what I said then and what I still hold to now, and you can see through the song, is that like Macklemore and Ryan Lewis don't make their hooks, and that's why I don't know if like they're gonna continue being like super successful. Like the most memorable parts of the Macklemore songs are not Macklemore.
Although I think if you talk to his fans, probably they would be much more down with his lyrics.
I guess that's true.
I don't think they just like him because like he makes these songs that have like cool hooks on them. I think they're really down with like what he's saying.
I just remember our colleague and me arguing 2 years, like a year and a half ago, about the Best New Artist category, because Ed Sheeran was nominated along with Macklemore and Ryan Lewis.
Mm.
And I was like, dude, who do you think is going to have the bigger career? And I was like, I 100% say Ed Sheeran. And he was like, no, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. So like, I still feel like Ed Sheeran's going to have the bigger
career. Yeah, you could be right there.
Well, that's definitely true.
I think they're both going to continue to have very successful careers.
I guess we'll see.
I think the most influential thing Macklemore has done is his haircut. And I'm joking, but I'm actually not kidding.
He got us gay marriage.
Because,
let's not forget that.
Yeah, he made gay marriage happen.
Also.
So congrats to him. No, but really, though, like, that haircut was, certainly people had it, but it was not ubiquitous. And pretty much after he got big, it started popping up in, like, everyday heads.
Yeah, Jason.
Whereas, like, I don't think anyone would ever be like, I got into rap because I heard Can't Hold Us. You know, like, it's more like just someone was like, I walk in, just give me that haircut. Give me the Macklemore.
Actually, Jason,
so he's had some influence.
Go to this barbershop, different barbers, but this barbershop in Greenpoint in Brooklyn. And I remember talking to my barber. He was saying, like, yeah, I just get more and more kids coming in wanting a Macklemore cut. And he just wouldn't do it. He wouldn't
That's
do
awesome.
It.
That's awesome.
That's incredible.
Anyways.
It's like just that sentence you said of like, certainly they had it before. Like you're like a Macklemore haircut historian. Like, of course, the Macklemore existed before Thrift Shop. But it really took off in ubiquity after Can't Hold Us.
Pretty much, yeah.
Anyway.
All right. So let's listen to it. We've talked plenty about it. So this is Macklemore and Ryan Lewis and Ed Sheeran. The song is called Growing Up.
Find something that you love and do it every day. Do that for the rest of your life. And eventually the world will change.
I'll be patient one more month. Wrap your fingers around my thumb.
All right, that's the new Macklemore and Ryan Lewis and Ed Sheeran.
Do people say, is that still a thing where I have to say Macklemore?
I could care less. Honestly,
I just say Macklemore.
I mean, yeah, I just say Macklemore. I was just being goofy.
I mean, listen, my last name's Lipschutz. I don't care when people mispronounce
it. No, that's true. You always say when I mispronounce it. You always call me out on that.
That's not true. Well, on the show, yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Anyways, let's do. So this is the second ever. Let's go to this week's Must Hear Music throwback track.
Oh, yeah.
Which we've got a great little gem, courtesy of Jason Lipschutz. So
yeah,
I'm gonna toss
it
over to
some
him.
OG Macklemore from back in 2005.
My pick is Thrift Shop. No, I'm just kidding. My pick for what is this? What is the official name of this segment?
Must Hear Music throwback track. Yeah, excellent sound effects.
That's the all right. Must Hear Music throwback track. Going back to 2005. A tender 10 years ago, and going to go with a band that is not totally on the scene today, but is near and dear to my heart. They are called Art Brut. They are a UK indie rock band that Pitchfork and other blogs of that ilk loved back in 2005 when they put out their debut album, Bang Bang Rock and Roll. really fun album, very tongue-in-cheek, very self-referential. And they put out some good stuff since then. Art Brut versus Satan, their third album, is also worth exploring. But their debut had a song called Emily Kane, which is one of my favorite songs from that era. It's just a exuberant love song, and Eddie Argos, the lead singer, gives just a great performance. People kind of latched on to Art Brut because of Formed a Band and a couple of their other singles back then, but I always go with Emily Kane. Just a great track.
Yeah, I'm glad you chose them, because a band I definitely hadn't thought about for a second, but I remember how just exciting and crazy this album seemed when it came out.
It seemed like they were going to be a thing, huh?
It did, yeah, and I guess...
Not like a mainstream thing, but like a, wow, they're
it reminded me, even though they're a fairly different band in sound, but of Electric Six, just this like really kind of like wacky in your face. They're a little sloppier, probably a little more British, I guess is the only way to put it.
You mean Art Brut.
Art Brut.
Yeah, they're very British.
Yeah.
Very British.
But yeah, this I think it's a great song, a great pick.
Yeah, I was really, really into Bang Bang Rock and Roll when it came out. Actually, I saw them performing behind their second album. It's called It's a Bit Complicated.
Oh,
that
wow.
One out. I had a bunch of like protractors and rulers on it.
That's the most Art Brut name for now. It's a bit complicated.
Yeah. But I saw them performing behind that album, and Eddie the singer said that he actually had reconnected with Emily, and they're cool since the song came out.
That's adorable. I had no idea.
He like interrupted the song in the middle of it and just started talking about like, very excitedly about how he's like, I'm back in touch with Emily.
Oh, that's awesome. Eddie Argus. Good
well,
for
I
him.
Saw him in concert a couple days ago, and he said she's dead, so.
Mm. Wow. So, very dark joke.
Yeah, just kidding. She might be alive. She might be dead. I don't actually know. But let's, that's a nice little segue out of
like
this.
30-ish. She's probably alive.
Presumably alive. Let's say that
she's
for
probably alive, so the joke is funny.
Exactly. all right. Well, that was Art Brut, who you should check out. Song's called Emily Kane. And that's what we got this week for the Must Hear Music throwback track. We really need to put some money into sound effects.
What's that? That was sound effects right there. That's great.
Sure it was. All right. Let's do... so we got another Jason pick right now. Just... all lip shuts all the time here on the Must Hear Music. This is Vivi, and the song is called Shift. And I'm going to let you do, because you have a little background story.
Little background story. So Vivi is the new stage name of Vivi Brown, a singer-songwriter out of the UK, speaking of the UK, where Vivi Brown was an artist back in like 2009, I think, put out an album that sounded a lot like... you know, pretty standard pop singer-songwriter stuff. A lot of, like, Corinne Bailey Ray kind of vibe. A little, like, Sarah Bareilles-y. Her song Shark in the Water had a pretty good run over in the UK and, you know, minor success in the US. And then she kind of disappeared. And then in, I think, 2013, put out an album called Samson and Delilah that sounded absolutely nothing like her old album, because it sounded like... like industrial pop. It like reminded me of Yeezus, which is very strange, like to go from like Corinne Bailey Ray to like Yeezus. But yeah, that was the vibe, and it was a super weird album, but it was also like an extraordinary album. And so again, she hasn't had much like commercial success because it's just so strange and out there, but I know a lot of the UK pop blogs have taken a shine to her, and I loved Samson and Delilah. Check that album out. She's back now with a new single called Shift. Kind of threads the needle a little bit between her old stuff and her new stuff, while still gravitating toward that like industrial pop vibe and just totally out there still. She's not trying to find a radio hit. But it definitely is a little bit more accessible, and I love what she's doing. The songwriting is just so on point, and her voice is just so like haunting and towering, and just really takes your breath away in a way that I don't think a lot of pop artists are doing these days. So Vivi, formerly Vivi Brown, Vivi, what'd you guys think of this?
Yeah, I loved it. I was not familiar with her. And this track, it was definitely one of those things where you listen to and it was like this is both, it's unexpected. Like, there's not a ton of stuff like this going on right now. And it also feels like very fully realized and is the kind of song that like made me want to hear like what else she can do potentially. It reminded me of just kind of like that like Basement Jack's approach to electronic music, just kind of like more of the mishmash approach and like anything goes sort of thing. And I also appreciate that it has it's not so like fixated on a pounding bass. It's more about like the rhythms going on in the track, and there's like multiple rhythms, and to me that's just more enjoyable. Like, I prefer my dance or dance leaning music to be more like rhythmic than just about like a donk 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 sort of thing.
What song would that be? Donk donk.
That's
donk.
Actually,
that's
my song.
That's the song.
That's my
donk
upcoming
by Soulja Boy.
Anyways, so yeah, I was really impressed by this, and I'm glad you you brought Vivi to the podcast. Aww,
yeah,
you.
I didn't even know that was Vivi Brown when you sent it over. I saw Vivi, and it made me think of her, but I was like, huh, I wouldn't have expected her to drop the Brown, and also it didn't sound anything like the last music I heard from
insane,
her.
Yeah, right?
I mean, like, so far away from Shark in the Water, that was her one, like, somewhat crossover hit.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like, I don't really know if this will take off in any way, but you were mentioning it's kind of like a UK pop blog darling thing. So it's cool that she's finding an audience, a little niche, because it's really neat stuff. It's cool.
Yeah, she's kind of like, in the UK at least, not on the same level as like a Sky Ferreira, but kind of doing the same thing of really headed toward the rock and much more experimental vibe, not really aiming for like a radio hit, but still getting so much love and attention from the blogs over there.
All right, well, let's give a listen. It's Vivi. The song's called Shift.
Take it away now.
To be the mother of the house, so you have to have the most power.
All right, that was Vivi's Shift. And next and last, let's do a C-Pain pick. We've got Warped band.
State Champs.
State Champs.
Oh, yeah.
The song is called Secrets.
Yeah, State Champs are a pop-punk band I've been into for a couple years now. This is the lead track off of what I believe is their second album. If it's not their second album, it's their second one that's gotten a decent push behind it. And What I think is cool about them is there aren't too many bands in pop punk these days that I think would at all fit in on a major label, because like over the past few years, the major label game has really stopped paying attention to that stuff, unlike years ago when we were younger. But I think they have a really...
Back when I was a kid,
yeah,
major labels gave a rat's ass about pop punk.
Hey, I mean, I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing. I think there's a lot of good bands out there that are fostered outside of that. I think it's just neat how they are one band because of the tightness of their songwriting, really strong vocals, stronger than most in the genre. And I don't think they really position themselves as not as wanting to be like very like anti-commercial or anything like that. So they could kind of fit in with that, maybe. They're one of the few pop punk bands out there I could see being with the major. But anyway, that's me going very off track on a little talk there about pop punk these days. The point is, it's a really good song. I think it's a great introduction to them and what they do, because it's not really a huge reinvention by any means of what they did on their last album. And if you like this, there's a track called Elevate that they did a video for on their last album that I like even more. Both videos are pretty similar in the sense that they're like playing live, got like the people stage diving, crowd surfing, like buying merch, running around the Warp Tour.
That sounds a lot of fun.
All those things.
I like watching people buy merch in music videos. That's usually weird if I'm kind of like up late at night and can't get to sleep. Just like merch buying 2015.
Just go through random bands like merch direct stores.
Mm-hmm. Totally. As we've kind of touched on before, I'm not like a big pop punk guy. I wasn't growing up, and I feel like, you know, if it doesn't like hit you at a certain age, it's not like going to be your thing when you're older. But I do appreciate and this is a backhanded compliment, but like usually with these bands, I'm like, oh, the vocalist is so whiny and annoying. And I do not feel that way about this one. Like, I feel like he has a strong voice and it sounds good. And it's like I'm kind of convinced by the delivery in a way that versus being annoyed.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. It just the vocals really set this apart for me. And I was unfamiliar, but I feel like this is a strong first impression.
All right. There we go. Well, let's listen to it. State Champs Secrets.
Funny how we go way back and we said that wouldn't let this come between. Everything it is a truth that I can look past memories and stay obscene. Oh, your idea of me blown away, away. Something's telling me I never could have ruined everything you want.
All right, so that was State Champs Secrets, and that's what we got this week.
Wow.
What a show. So
nice we could have recorded it twice.
But yeah, happy birthday, Jason.
Oh, thanks, man.
We of course by the time you listen to this, it won't be Jason's birthday. Oh. He'll be several days
I'll just be a normal guy again.
Just be a regular non-birthday sort of fella.
Yeah.
Oh. And he'll also be a fella who saw One Direction. So
yeah.
He's going to come to work with a big smile
on his
face.
You know what's great
face.
Is that I was thinking about... Goodness gracious, Joe. What's awesome is that within the span of a week, I will have seen a Migos concert, a One Direction concert, and a Deftones Incubus concert.
I'm going to go on a limb and say you're probably the only person to have been at all three of those.
It's a great
shows.
Week.
Yeah.
It's just been a great week. It's like a must-hear week.
I would like to meet another, if there is another person doing that and they're not a music journalist, I want to meet you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You think
tweet
maybe,
us.
And you don't work in the music industry at all, and you went to see One Direction, Migos, and Deftones/Incubus.
Yeah, let's do it.
Hit us up if you went to all three of those shows and you are not in the music industry.
Yeah.
You're cool.
What if, does it count as music industry if that person is One Direction's Louis Tomlinson?
No, he should hit us up anyway.
Okay, cool. Because
yeah.
I think he was
I don't
at
think
all
he was at
those
the Migos
shows.
Show.
I think he definitely was.
He was at Lollapalooza.
He was
he's
at Lollapalooza.
Get his
I'm pretty sure he saw Brand New at Lollapalooza.
Oh.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Well, all right. Well, thanks so much for joining us. If you have any recommendations for artists or new tracks, tweet them in. And yeah, also, you know, subscribe and all that jazz. We got a review on the podcast, which was the most exciting thing of the hour where I noticed it. It was definitely the highlight
That's
of that
a big hour
of my life. Yeah. Yeah. No, but it's really cool to see reviews and what people think about the podcast. So if you have a second or 3 seconds, go in and write like two words. Just be like, this good. And then I will be really happy. Otherwise,
good.
You have a good week, and we'll see
Bye
you next
guys.
Time.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.